celebrate 50 years of Macca's with the custard pie and birthday McFlurry.
It's a NickJessen.com. Welcome to the podcast.
I like that.
Thanks so much.
Do you remember when you first started and your mission was to come up with a new greeting for 6 a.m. every morning and then Nick and I would vote on our favourite?
Yeah.
And the one we landed on is still today.
Yeah. What time is it? Showtime.
Yeah. Maybe for the podcast.
Nah.
You could do a ditty and we could land on a ditty.
Oh, yeah.
Just for maybe just Tuesday to Friday this week.
Just an instrumental ditty.
Just a little ditty. Like of Nick Jessen Ducko.
That, in that tone or like.
Or you could change it up.
Oh,
whatever
okay.
mood you're in. You could come 9 a.m.
Sure. So you know that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy? By Bobby McFerrin.
Of course.
You might not know, but there are no instruments in that song.
Really?
It's just him going.
I didn't know that.
Boom, boom,
boom, is it?
And then. And then.
It's all mouth. Instruments.
So I'm going to create that.
You could just do all of the instruments to our little ditty.
I'd love to add that onto my schedule.
Oh, my God.
Onto my program.
What was that beatboxer from The Voice? Yeah. No, Oz Idol. Remember the original guy?
Joel Turner.
Newcastle's answer to Joel Turner.
We're halfway there.
Yeah, okay, that's tune into the podcast tomorrow to see what I do in the moment.
I love it. You only get 4 days worth of this hit, fam. So
should we give him some time so it's a good quality when we get back from holidays?
No, let's just keep it in the moment.
Are you going to put the work in over your break,
no,
Ducko?
Absolutely not. I'm not signing up to an extra thing to in the frigging podcast, but I will do it every day. You know, I'll just come with the motivation after the show.
I look forward to the next couple of days.
Thanks
but, boys,
so much.
Wanted to tell you quickly about a German reporter who's been caught out in a lie in the most public way possible. It's always embarrassing when someone calls you out in a lie and then you find yourself like a rat trapped up against the corner. It's like, I got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Well, this German reporter, as we know, Germany is experiencing some hectic flooding, some really, really devastating stuff going on at the moment. And one German woman reporting from the scene, you know, like our Today shows in the middle of floods or wild weather. Yeah. They stand out there with their brollies and they get wet and cop
it's
it to the
horrible
face.
Quality of audio. Like, there's no point
seriously,
in doing that.
Seriously, you just get it for, like, you're hoping the viral footage of the stop sign coming and smacking them in the face or something. Yeah. Well, this German reporter was in amongst it, and she was telling her story to camera, and she's covered in mud and dirt, and she's saying about the relief effort, how people are coming and volunteering, including herself. She's there looking for people, looking for survivors, doing her bit.
Handing out pretzels.
And other
bratwurst.
German-esque food. Yes. Unfortunately, moments after this has gone to air, someone happened to be filming her just before the camera started rolling and caught on camera her standing there in her pristine outfit, walking into the mud, getting some handfuls of it, smearing it on her face for the effect that she was knee-deep in the rescue effort when actually she just smeared some crap on her face and tried to make out to the German nation, I am here.
I'm here in the
trenches. She's since been fired for
lying
about helping about the flood efforts, which I get, like it's such a serious national emergency. And here's this woman lying about helping and they've gone, a toodaloo.
Yeah, it's one thing to be that influencer who went up to pretend as though she was hammering boards after, I think it was.
I remember that story.
The looting or maybe a storm, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And then she takes the photo and then hands the hammer and nail to somebody else and walks back to her driver car.
Yeah, gets back in her trailer.
Yes.
So did she still have like the nice reporter gear on, like a nice jacket and boots?
Do you know what?
And whatnot.
She was in just sort of like a short sleeve shirt and a little bit of a hat situation, just like a little bit of a bucket hat. But yeah, it's so, it's just so awkward. You can just see someone, it almost looks like someone from a building filming her at a height.
Yeah.
They're probably thinking, I'm just capturing the local news here on the ground. Actually,
hang on a minute.
I've seen her report. She's just lied about helping these people who are in desperate need.
I've been helping that family over there. Just points to this poor family that's lost everything.
Yeah,
I've been
going,
on the ground
what?
With them helping, just doing my bit.
Yeah.
You always wonder about journos in horrific events. They swan in, film it, and then they just leave.
I know. It's can you imagine that one of my mates is a news reporter and she's been, I know, Gilly, you told the story on Today's show about seeing a decapitated head.
Yeah.
She was in a similar situation. A guy had been like a bikey thing, shot in the head, like on his porch.
Oh.
And, you know, media just come and they hadn't covered up the body yet. And it's just like, we've got a report on that. And now we get back in our car and I'm going to make chicken chow mein for dinner.
Like, yeah.
How do you just snap back into
and
your
day? And
how
do you go from doing a story like that to like, a cute story of cat up a tree that got returned to the
Seriously,
family.
Seriously, a squirrel water skiing. You know? What a shift.
What a gear shift. Mm.
That is pretty amazing, though, squirrels water skiing.
It's pretty funny.
It's
have you
never
seen
not
it?
Good.
It's never not funny.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. It adds light to every decapitated head.
You know? It's what, you know, the world needs.
Squirrels.
Light and shade, baby. Light and shade.
Guys, obviously we work on the radio. Now, you find in life that lots of people will come to you with ideas for the radio. Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh, I want to do a whole segment dedicated to the friends and family.
Yes.
The well-wishers and the do-gooders who go... Yeah. This would be great on radio.
Yeah.
And then you go, yeah, okay, sure.
Okay, sure, I'll jot that down.
No worries.
In my memory.
Thank you, Dad, who's a financial planner. Understands.
You stick in your lane, I'll stick in mine.
Yeah, I'm not giving people tax advice, Dad. You stay in your lane, all right?
But I got a message from my mum the other day about a potential radio thing. Now, mum always does, you know, give me some suggestions, as does Dad, and some of them are good. Some of them, you know, thank you so much for the idea shower. That one just trickled down the side of me. But it's not so much the idea she gave me. It's how she gave it to me. My own mum. Now, how do you think you can contact your mum? You can get a text. Maybe she could pick up the phone. She could call me.
Yep.
I'd love a FaceTime from mum every now and then.
We speak on the phone weekly.
Maybe an email.
An email would be then, I'd say, third string, correct.
Yeah. 100%. Maybe she's busy at work. It came to her. She's already on her emails. Yeah. Shoots one off to her dearly beloved son.
Yes. Well, I got an email from her with a notification from LinkedIn. What? She sent me a message on LinkedIn for a potential radio idea.
When was the last time you logged into your own LinkedIn, Ducker?
Exactly. I don't know how to. So I got the email and I forgot my password and login. I tried to log in. I failed it so many times I couldn't do it.
Why did you ever make a LinkedIn?
I don't know. What do I need? What are you going to endorse me for? Radio?
Yeah. Congratulate Ducker on his 1 year at insert business name here.
I went on. I finally got my password. I had to reset it, do new, do the email confirmation code. Went on LinkedIn to see mum had sent me some, like, it was an article about someone who owned a donut shop on the Central Coast, but this could be good for your show. I mean, it was not worth the effort I went to get onto my LinkedIn.
At least now you know your password and email username for LinkedIn.
I was like, Mum, why did you message me on LinkedIn? I'm your own son. Just pick up the phone and call me. And then I realized in my inbox of LinkedIn, didn't know that I had that either, I had all these messages from people who, like, congratulate you on your job anniversary.
Yes, yes. That's the only thing LinkedIn is good for.
Yeah.
Have you updated your resume while you're in there?
No, my headshot on LinkedIn is literally my old acting headshot where I'm very serious.
Yeah, and is it still like Nick Allen Duckett, the actor?
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't say anything about radio or me being here or anything like that because I haven't been on it in about 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's all old, but people are messaging me, congratulating. People want to endorse me for things.
Just percolating behind the scenes. Yeah. You had no idea.
Is there any that you've really shot yourself in the foot with by not checking? Like, is there Steven Spielberg?
He slid into the
mate,
DM.
Hey, no, we wanted you for the lead in this. We don't want anyone else. You don't even need to audition. Next message. Bing. Hey, mate, do you want to get back to me? Next message. Bing.
Spielberg.
Why are you ghosting me, Ducko? Why are you doing this to me?
You've clearly got a LinkedIn. I mean, this is the only way I know how to contact you.
I only check the message from my mum about a donut shop. It's an amazing day already. Because of Ariana Titmus yesterday, winning the gold medal.
Can she be beaten, Katie Ledecky, the defending champion, the world record holder? Ariana Titmus in front. Match race down to the end. Stroke for stroke. She's in front, Arnie Titmus. Ariana's in front. To become a legend, you have to beat a legend. And that's what we've seen. Australia win gold. Ariana Titmus. Confirmation, a coronation. We can start the celebration for Australia.
Brilliant.
Oh my God, it was so good. But as good as that moment was, nothing has really come close in Australian sporting history as the celebration by Ariane's coach, Dan Boxall. Dean, sorry. He was up in the stands.
Yes.
The moment her hand hits that thing, he rips off his mask. He's dancing. He's thrusting. The vision is absolutely gorgeous. The pure joy, the pure passion. Slightly aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
Just so out of body experience.
Yeah, shaking the railing on the balcony. I swear, whoever makes those balconies should release an ad campaign. We've got the strongest Perspect balcony.
That Japanese technology, baby, in their swim stadium.
Here's the Aussie commentators when Dean is celebrating.
And there's our coach, Dean Boxall. He's the contemporary version of Laurie Lawrence. And I don't know how that fence is going to feel about that, but what a performance, and what a performance by the coach.
Do you want to hear the Americans? This is, I don't know who he is, but this is their reaction.
Looks sort of like Doc Brown. I mean, He is going crazy. Oh my goodness.
It's so good. So what we wanted to do, if you haven't seen the vision, It's up on the Nick Jesducco Instagram page right now. We want you to give us a call, 131060, And tell us your gold medal winning moment. And then celebrate like Ariane's coach.
Yes.
Just go nuts. And there's a $500 voucher to spend at Charlestown Square in it for you. For
And it could be any golden moment of the day. You know, a very simple task you might have got done last night or something you're going to do today. What's your gold medal moment?
Mm. All right, can I share with you mine, guys?
Please do.
So, Harriet, my 4-year-old daughter at the moment, we're toilet training her at night.
Yes.
Just wearing underpants and just hoping for the best. She hasn't had a successful night yet.
Mm. Oh, no.
Last night, nature called for me at about 1 a.m.
Hey.
So I get up, I go to the toilet and I go, do you know what? Do you know who else might need to go to the toilet? I get my daughter pretty much asleep, plonk her on the bathroom.
Yes.
Give her a wee while she's half asleep.
What?
Tuck her back into bed, give her a little cuddle. And then for the first time, she woke up dry.
Wow.
I am a gold medalist.
You are a gold medalist.
At night.
Yes, baby.
Yes. May I share? May I share my gold medal winning moment?
Step just behind the podium and tell us why you should be up there.
Okay. Schitt's Creek trivia at the Green Roof last night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
To win it for my team, the disgruntled Pelicans. I remembered that Aunt Maureen died at 78, leaving the deed to the motel to Stevie. You bloody ripper! Yes! $100 bar tab to the pub my husband owns. But yes. It doesn't matter.
Yes. Yeah. You got it.
I mean, that's more than most Olympians get, you know. They were so hard for so little. $100 bar tab. Happy with that.
Greedy.
I'm on a high still, guys.
I was on a high after watching Ariane yesterday. I woke up this morning, my alarm goes off 4 a.m. as it normally does. Mm-hmm. When I make my smoothie in the morning, you guys know I have my smoothie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I looked at my smoothie. I went, not today. I'm going to pack oats. I'm going to pack berries, banana, honey, bit of coconut yogurt, obviously, because I can't have much dairy. I'm going to have oats in the morning, baby. Woo! I mixed up my breakfast today.
You green and gold legend.
Thank you so much.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Thank you so much.
Oi, oi, oi. We love it. 131060 here, family.
Yeah.
We need your gold medal moments.
Yes.
And for you to celebrate like Ariane's coach did. Maybe you'll go viral. Maybe the New York Times will pick up your story too.
Absolutely.
And you will become a meme.
We want to hear you shaking the fence over the phone.
Yes.
Jenny in Mount Hutton, what is your gold medal moment of today?
So in the middle of winter, my gold medal moment is getting up when the alarm goes off.
Not hitting snooze. Yeah.
I'll tell you what would be another gold medal moment. If you managed to go to bed at a reasonable time and didn't waste an hour somehow before you go to bed.
Yes, on your phone or flicking around the telly. That's a great one,
Jenny. That's a good one, Jenny. Tanita in Gilliston Heights on 131060. Go for it. What's your gold medal moment?
And she gets out of the house without the kids fighting or whinging. The crowd is cheering. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Well played. That's what I'm talking about.
Tanita, I don't actually believe you. I don't. No, I personally don't know if that's possible. Right
yeah. They're fighting in the background. She said. Yeah.
Sammy, give it to us. What was your gold medal moment of the day?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're great.
Thank you.
So I have the fitness level of a sloth, so lethargic and
yeah.
And I've just had my third baby, so I'm not getting a full night's sleep, as you can imagine.
Okay.
I just started the gym in February, and every week since I've started, I've been like, this will be my week that I'll go every day for 7 days. And I hadn't been able to do it until Sunday. I finally went every single day in a row for 7 days, a whole week at the gym.
Done, Sammy. Doing 2 days in a row. You've got
like
three
getting
kids.
Getting out of bed with a baby, like in the middle of winter, like exercising, like F45. Like that's no tea party.
Rip that fence out of its hole, Sammy. We're all trying to get the jab. We're all trying to do the right thing.
Vaccinated.
Exactly. That's how we're going to fight COVID-19. We're going to go get our Pfizer or our AstraZeneca. Well, women around the world, including some Aussies, have reported the effects of the Pfizer boob job after having had their jabs. Women are reporting that their buzzies are growing in size. One woman, one UK woman on TikTok said she went from an A to a C. Whoa. That is two cup sizes.
Really?
That is a whole new shopping trip you need to do.
Oh.
You ain't fitting in your old bras going from A to C.
Yeah, is that a permanent change? Is that just, is that life now?
These are all great questions. Yeah. Dr. Brad Mackay, good friend of the show, GP and author of the book Fake Medicine, is our go-to guy to answer these sort of questions.
The booby questions.
The booby questions. Yeah. Dr. Brad, firstly, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's going on with the Pfizer boob job, and how long does it last, and am I eligible for it?
Well, I don't think it's going to be permanent, so that's probably the disappointing thing. For
maybe if I've got a special event on sexy date night or something, I just treat my
husband. Did it tonight. Just hope you don't get sick.
Well, we see all sorts of weird and wonderful side effects with vaccines, and this is a vaccine that we haven't seen before. This is new technology that's come through. So I've seen a couple of patients so far. So one male and one female patient who came in just petrified that they were getting cancer, that they were getting big lymph nodes developing under their arm. And when I asked which arm they had their Pfizer vaccine in, it was the same side.
That happened to me, Brad. I had I felt like a lump under my arm. I thought my gland, and it was really sore to touch. It was like poking out for a couple of days.
Did you just get half a little boob job?
I got half a little boobie under the armpit.
A bit of a side boob.
Yeah.
So it's definitely like transient. One of my patients was freaked out because it sort of started to get smaller and then it got bigger again. And I was like, well, did you have your second vaccine? And he was like, oh, yeah. So it just sort of goes up for a few weeks. So I think it is freaking out a few people. They're thinking that they're getting lymphoma or breast cancer. And it sounds like some people around the world are actually having their boob getting even bigger. Like everything's sort of getting large. I think some people have said that it's on both sides, but typically we're sort of seeing it in the medical literature just on one side rather than both. So a lopsided boob job probably isn't that desirable.
No, you'd sue for that.
Yeah. And how long is this lasting, this side effect?
So from what I've seen, it's just been lasting for a few days for patients. But even some patients have seen that it's been increasing the lymph nodes for even 6 weeks and some people even 12 weeks. And so we are advising people just to sort of keep that in mind if they are finding the swelling. And particularly if people are due to have a mammogram done, it seems to be that that it can inflame the lymph nodes underneath the arm or around the breast, even if people don't notice it. But when we're doing a mammogram and taking an x-ray, that can actually make things look a little bit weird on the mammogram. So you need to mention that vaccination to the radiologist who's doing it or to your GP at the time.
Okay, so from Pfizer to AstraZeneca, Dr. Brad, Steve Price and Carrie Bickmore talking about their relative jabs on the project last night. And Steve mentioned the side effect he's been getting from AstraZeneca.
So you get bigger boobs and I just have bad dreams. That was the side effect I had.
Did you get bad dreams, did you?
Yeah, from the second jab of AstraZeneca. I had not.
Bad dreams about bigger boobs?
Maybe.
What's going on with the bad dreams there, Dr. Brad?
Well, I think anything that causes you to get a bit of a fever and feel a bit unwell, where your immune system's getting activated, can cause weird dreams. So I'm sure you've heard of fever dreams before, and that's probably what Steve was getting about breasts or not. So certainly what we're finding is from the Pfizer vaccine and also the Moderna vaccine, these are both mRNA vaccines and tend to be causing the lymph node to increase, which is sort of ironic because Moderna is it was funded by Dolly Parton. And so it's really sort of weird that they're creating large breasts around the world.
Yes. Thank you, Dolly. It was a one
famously
condition.
Well endowed lady.
Yeah. I wonder if any anti-vaxxer husbands have changed their tune.
Yeah. Oh, big boobs. Get it tonight, honey. And before we let you go, Dr. Brad Mackay, people like Nick and I both had our vaccines and we had zero side effects at all. Didn't get sick. Does that mean that we're, immune strong?
So I was very much the same. So I had no side effects at all with the vaccine.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you. What we were sort of like worried about initially was, okay, well, if you don't get a response, does that mean that you're not getting a response to the vaccine? Are you not immune in the future. But what we're finding from studies is that you can still mount an immune response, so your antibody levels can still be really good, even if you don't get any side effects from the vaccine. So it's just that we're really lucky. That's the main part of it. But
we are. Lucky strong people. Dr. Brad McKay, GP and author of Fake Medicine, thanks for coming on and debunking the big boob theory.
No worries, guys. Cheers.
So, Jess, there you go.
Okay.
Still sign up. Maybe on your anniversary.
Just keep eating my chicken breasts for my exercises.
Some very exciting news for our future, guys, but also some stinky news.
Stinky news.
Just going to read the title of this. A fresh push towards the use of environmentally friendly jet fuels could soon see travellers flying on planes powered by human poo.
Amazing.
Now... Okay.
So, as in when you go to the bathroom on the plane, instead of pooing down a chute, which goes into some sort of sewage compartment.
Does that go in the air? That your poo goes in the air and doesn't dissolve?
I think that's a myth.
Is that a myth?
I think it's a myth. Because I've heard things of like it freezes and then they send this giant sort of asteroid of poo out of the like plane.
Asteroid turd.
I think that's a myth. So instead of pooing into some sort of compartment, we're pooing straight into the engine?
Straight into the fuel tank.
Right, they're just going to reroute the pipes.
Yeah.
Reroute the pipes.
Okay.
Maybe if
drop it in.
You know, if there's ever a situation where they've had to circle for a while because there's some kind of runway issues.
Yeah.
Everyone get to the toilet.
Could just start feeding us, you know.
Mate, Jess would be handy on a flight.
Mate, just give me a coffee, babe.
After a normal day of lunch, I've had four passes today. Get her to the toilet. Yeah. Jess is actually fueling Qantas.
Is it going to? Yeah. Where's my kickback? Yeah. The points that I'm earning, Dale. Take us all to the Bahamas when we can travel.
Madam, write this way to business, please.
Going to change the menu? On the plane.
Baked beans
Much more fibrous. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
So we're talking poo on a plane.
We are talking.
Enough is enough. I have had it with these mother
poo
on this mother plane. Everybody strap in. I'm about to open some windows.
Poo.
Okay.
Just add on an extra poo there.
That was some audio from the actual American trial.
Great.
But the reason why this is happening is because the British Transport Secretary has said that they want UK's airlines to be 10% eco-friendly jet fuel by 2030. So 10% of this stuff. He said that for eco-fuel to work, he wants it to rise by 75% of all planes being on this eco-fuel by 2050. And this can be anything from household waste... human sewage and cooking oils.
Oh my God. And have they done any research into the smell? When the plane is going and you see that tailwind, you know, Skyriders and stuff, you've got that stream. Is there going to be some sort of chemical reaction?
You know, you walk out to the tarmac, if you get in a plane, sometimes from the Newey Airport, and you got to walk out to walk up into the plane.
Yes,
some planes are taking off, you're like, oh my God, it stinks out here.
Yeah. All the wives smacking their husbands, being like, it wasn't me.
It was
Jetstar.
Jetstar did it. And would one airline have worse quality poo? So Jetstar has the worstest smell to Qantas.
Is that going to be the next ad campaign? It's like, we only fly on premium poos. We've got supermodel poo.
Our poo is sourced from premium quality
that's
human.
That's right, yeah.
The only thing I would say is, do planes, like, petrol smells horrendous.
Very true. So will this
be
better?
I like the smell of petrol. I'm one of those people.
Oh, you a chromer?
Yeah.
Into a plastic bag.
I wouldn't say it publicly, but I go to petrol stations to fill up. So you filled up yesterday. I know. I'm joking.
I don't need it.
But I do like the smell of fuel. So, you know, it's one of those things.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe some people won't think this is an improvement in terms of scent.
Well, some people will like the smell.
Yeah, I wonder if Tucker will continue to like the smell of fuel as we move into the eco-fuel area. Yeah.
They do say, though, you know, when you go into the bathroom after your dad and you're like, how did you survive in there?
Yeah.
Because apparently it doesn't take long for the human nose just to deal with scent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You can just cop it.
You can just cop it after a while. You just deal with it.
Yeah.
So maybe in the same regard, this will just become the new normal, which is our favourite phrase of 2021.
Absolutely. I just hope it gets to cars. And like I said, you just jump into your fuel tank and just go for it. A little reverse Kanga.
Yeah.
Yeah, so talk us through the reverse Kanga mechanism with the planes. Like,
so
why are we
doing
that?
So the paparazzis walk past, snapped a pic of Nick Gill, front page of the Herald. What does it look like?
I don't know, because I think you need a toilet seat,
you do.
Right? And you need to be standing on the toilet seat.
Take the top of the toilet off.
Yeah. So
you're
maybe
standing on your bonnet somehow.
Turn my car on its side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's one of those fancy cars that has the fuel tank, like, on the top of the boot.
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be good. I'm just popping a squat.
100%. Poo! Yeah.
Thanks, producer Sophie. Don't know why you chimed in then. But...
The giant slayer, we're calling her, Katie Ledecky, the American, is undefeated as an individual at the Olympics. She is an incredible swimmer. She's touted as the best female swimmer in the world.
Yeah.
And Ariane Titmus, the Aussie golden
the Terminator,
girl,
they're calling
the 21-year-old, swoops in the dying moments and taps that wall first.
So good. And what I love about this is one of her biggest challenges, apparently, about Ariane is like, well, during the World Championships in 2018, when I was up and coming, you know, I also had to complete year 12. And I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
They achieved heaps. But then Dean Boxall, her coach, this is great, coaches for a club in Brisbane called St. Peter's Western, which is actually the old club that my wife and her brother used to swim for.
Oh, no way. Yeah, yeah. Great pedigree.
And Morgan's mum, Robin, who's listening right now, was a big. She used to be the president of this club. So they know Dean very well. Dean's a lovely bloke. But this, his reaction was one of the greatest moments in Australian sporting history when he's just... Like, he's like thrusting against the pole. He's jumping up and down. He's yelling. Here's him actually talking about his reaction in the moment.
That shot, that's gone crazy around the world. Like, I just the New York Times has just said, can I please have what Dean Boxall's on? That's their headline.
it just came out. I built it up from trials. It was coming through. And then when I saw the race unfolding, I couldn't keep it in. I need to apologise because I actually... took my muscle by mistake and it ripped and I just lost it in the moment.
You're all right, Dean. It'll be fine.
You're fine. That little Japanese woman who was like the usher, security woman, trying to be like, please go back to your section.
Please go. No. We're joined now with someone very special, Maxie Sears, who's Ariane and Dean's assistant. She coaches at St. Peter's Western. She knows the inner workings of them all. She joins us now. Good morning, Maxie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we?
Oh, we are so good. You must be on top of the moon having watched that yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was, it's sort of surreal. You're sort of sitting there and you watch it unfold and you're like, this is it. You know, it's, I still remember when she first came across and we've spoken about this moment really for 4 years. So it sort of all happened and it was sort of, it was very surreal, to be honest, very surreal.
And when you saw her at the final turn, probably like a palm behind Katie Ledecky, how were you feeling at that point?
Yeah, it was actually, for me, it was on that 650. So I was coming into the 300 meter mark. I thought, oh, here we go. You could see she was really starting to gather momentum. Mm-hmm. I was quickly doing the maths of what times her 50s were and I was like, oh, she's making a move here. Ooh. And she just looked really good. She looked really strong and she looked good. But then, they panned underwater and I saw Katie was really working her turn and I was like, oh, this is going to be a dogfight.
Maxie, can you talk us through the strategy behind a race like this? Because I was watching hearing the commentary and they're all going on about strategy and tactics. And as someone who doesn't really know swimming, I'm going, don't you just go hell for leather? It's a gold medal event. Like, what do you mean strategy? But then you think about those splits and all that sort of gear, you go, oh, there is a mental game to it as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the 400 really is quite strategic. Like the 200 is pretty much flat out, but 400 is just that bit too long to be flat out. And Katie really changed the 400 meter tactic. Like it used to be a lot more about being very even and coming home very fast. And then when Katie Ledecky sort of came on the scene, she'd take off. It was unheard of for someone to go out under 2 minutes. I think definitely the tactic with Arnie is over the 4 years was to develop her front end so she could find that a bit easier. And then because you know it's going to be a race for the last three laps, so you just had to keep her calm, keep her strong and have her fit enough that she could get to the back end of the race with energy in the tank. So you sort of have a petrol tank and you've got to chew through each part of that evenly.
Wow. And to perform it under pressure as well. Because, Maxie, you coached with Dean. You coached her for 5 years. What's her relationship like with Dean? Because after the race, I saw she came out and said she wanted to make him proud. And
got quite emotional.
Got quite emotional. So what's their relationship like and the relationship that is of an athlete and a coach going to the Olympics?
Yeah, look, they've got a great relationship. And it's certainly grown over the years. And, you know, Arnie came as a 16-year-old girl and she's now a young lady. Yeah, they've just got a very open and honest relationship. You know, there's no holes barred. Emotions are expressed between the two of them if they're frustrated with each other or
they have blow-ups every now and then?
Pretty rarely, but yeah, occasionally. And that's just the emotion of the moment. Mm. You know, when you're working hard and you're under pressure and you're just fatigued and training, you know, that's sometimes when blow-ups happen. But there's no blow-ups really. It's just I think her greatest gift is she has complete trust in what she's given to do. She never doubts anything. She never questions anything. And the program really structured for her just how to get the best out of her. So over the years, we've got to know her so well and what makes her tick. And then, you know, you keep putting those pieces into the program and she keeps just grabbing hold of it and doing her absolute best with it. So, yeah, it's a very good relationship. It's probably your dream relationship you could ask for between coach and athlete, really.
And Dean Boxall, the coach who ripped that balcony off its hinges pretty much.
Gone viral.
In the interview after, he seemed like such a chilled out sort of guy. Was this something that was out of character for Dean, or is he a pretty spirited dude most of the time?
No, he's pretty spirited, especially in the racing environment. No, especially in that racing environment, the emotions just come out. And I think it's, you know, it's been a 2-year race. It's just been brewing these days. So, you know, that's 2 years of a pent up emotion just coming up there. So, no, he's pretty spirited. He's very emotional. He's very passionate. And with passion comes that emotion. So,
100%.
Yeah, it was like a volcano.
So cool. It was so good. Maxi, I want to touch quickly on Ariane's family because this story, I think, is just so awesome. The family moving from their hometown in Tassie up to the Gold Coast, up to Queensland, because they identified in their daughter, she's got real potential here. We need to be around what more of a swimming culture up in Queensland and basically move the whole family up there. That is just amazing. That mustn't be something you often see with families moving their whole lives based on a potential talent in their kid.
Yeah, and it is. As you said, it's a huge risk because you just don't know how it's all going to go. I think having talent as a young athlete is one thing, but then, you know, at high performance level, talent is just such a small part of it. It's the hard work. It's the, it's all the pieces of the puzzle. It's being able to handle the training. It's the desire and the hunger all coming to the forefront. So it is a huge risk. And especially from Tassie up here to Queensland, it's not really that close. Like, you know, maybe from Sydney to Brisbane, it's an hour flight. You can pop home that much quicker and that much easier. But yeah, look, hey, they jumped in with both feet and they took a huge risk and they moved up. They've got another daughter, Mia, who's also moved up with them. And yeah, look, it pulled off for them. And I think they're very happy in Queensland now and they've got some great mates and they've, you know, they've settled and they've got a house. But it's a huge decision. And I do think quite a few families do make that decision. And you just always hope it works out the best for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's great fuel for the athlete, I guess. Yeah. You know, if you don't want to get up, we know the early alarms for swimming.
The motivation.
You know, mum and dad and my little sis moved up here for me.
I better get out of bed
and go to training.
And Maxi, before you go, how do you reckon Ariane's going to go on the 200, the 800? Are we going to get a few more golds or at least some medals?
Yeah, definitely. We still have some huge events. I mean, we've got Kaylee McEwen coming up this morning and Emily Seabom and the girls' backstroke. And I think that's going to be a blanket finish. So I think that'll be just as exciting. Keen to see Arnie in the 200 freestyle, as well as both the men's and women's 4x2 free relay. So we're defending world champs for both of those events. So they're coming up in the next couple of days as well. So yeah, I definitely think so. I think we've got some good results to come. I think the team's also on a bit of a high. So morale would be good and energy will be up. So
exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, very exciting.
Maxi Sears there, Ariane, and Dean Boxall's assistant coach after she won gold, of course, yesterday. Thanks for your time. And my mother-in-law, Robin, says to say hello, and she couldn't
sit.
She spoke very highly of you.
No, thank you. And yes, hello to Robin, please. And actually, the whole Rutley family.
By extension, you too.
That's right. The average athlete games. The games are going on in Tokyo. Sure. Ariane Titmus, historical moment yesterday, but we're about to make history as well.
That's right.
Sure. She was okay.
Wipe that smile off your face. This is serious business.
This is big business,
absolutely.
Mate.
Our nations. Mine, the United States of Geriatrica for the oldies. Jess's Italy for the carb lovers. And Mini Dad and Small Bago, Ducko's tiny, tiny nation.
So little.
Take our teams into the Average Athlete Games through a series of events that are designed for average athletes to absolutely shine.
That's right. We spent weeks and weeks recruiting the HIT family to find the pinnacle three for each of our countries.
Not the pinnacle three, the middling three.
Oh, the middling three. The pinnacle of the averageness.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, the average of the average to represent our various nations. We stamped their passports. Mm-hmm. We took them down to Foreshore Park.
And we made them run in thongs holding VB.
Exactly. Event one, the thong relay with the baton of an open tin of VB. And we can assure you it was all very COVID safe. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had to put a lot of parameters in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't even actually pass the baton, unfortunately.
you had to put it on a stool and someone picked up another baton from another stool.
It was very sign of the times. It was. Yeah.
But which is how Tokyo's going to do it too, I think.
No touching of the same baton. And we all had our teams. It was a relay, all four of us competing in the relay.
Yes, that's right.
We will take you now to the commentary of our Average Athletes Event 1.
Welcome along to Nick, Jess and Ducko's Average Athlete Games for 2021, a year that has promised so much but has delivered very little. Today, we change all that as real people unite to compete for average sporting glory. The three teams preparing themselves for this opening day of competition, the one true superpower, the United States of Geriatrica, the carbohydrate-fueled country of Italy and that tiny island nation of Minidad and Small Bago. Event 1 today, the historic Thong Relay Race. Team members must carry a VB can baton while they run 100 metres around the track, break a plugger, and you are back to the start for a new set. Beyond that, there are no rules except run fast. They're with the starter now. They're off. Minidad and Small Bago shot out of an absolute cannon. But wait, oh no! He's lost a thong. He's left a thong 20 metres behind. He'll have to backtrack to collect it. And just like that, Minidad and Small Bago with a mountain to climb to get back into this one. Italy, in the meantime, are out in front running like someone stole their cannolis. The first leg done there. Italy still with a comfortable lead. And what about the comeback from Minidad and Small Bago? Despite the lost thong, they're back into second. United States of Geriatrica, clearly a team built for comfort, not speed, as they languish behind in last place. Italy are headed for the final BB baton change over here, and oh my goodness, the Italy runner has given the Minidad and Small Bago competitor a VB shower. Is that even allowed? Who knows, but it is Italy with a narrow lead over Minidad and Small Bago as we come to the line. Italy! Italy win. The VB baton is down. Minidad and Small Bago come in second. And the United States of Geriatrica, who've been little more than a sideshow today, come home for the bronze. But it appears... Ooh, hold on. Hold on. It appears we may have a protest here from Minidad and Small Bago.
I'll be reporting them to the committee.
The VB shower might be looking too further, but that won't stop the Italians from celebrating today. They embrace, as only Italians can, the gold medals are placed around their necks as the winners perform a chef's kiss. Gold to the Italian, silver Minidad and Small Bago, and bronze the United States of Geriatrics.
Bad tactics! Bad tactics! Cheaters!
Whoa. Here it comes, boys.
Bit of controversy
Eat
there.
It and weep.
Bit of controversy there, guys. Italy throwing beer on me before I ran. Your last runner poured beer all over my feet, so I was sliding around in the thongs.
Look, Shano took it into his own hands there.
Yeah.
It was a spillage, just an accidental spillage.
He said to me before, he's like, Duck, I'm going to pour my beer all over you before you run.
No, there was no premeditation, even though he said he was going to. No.
Still
an accident.
He literally looked me in the eyes before he started running because I was so far ahead and poured all his beer over my thongs, and I was sliding around everywhere. Plus, our runner already slipped out of his thongs in the first leg.
I'm just hearing a lot of excuses over the Italian national anthem there.
Okay.
So that's fine. We'll just do it again and back it up tomorrow and we'll see what happens.
I only just made it to the show on time.
So true.
I was still running in our team until just moments before our show started.
Yeah, you're very far behind.
We were a fair way behind. United States of Geriatrica really living up to their name in the first event.
Yes, Forza Italy taking out the first event. But it's a long week.
It's a long week, baby.
It's a long week. Anything could happen.
We got the horse riding tomorrow where you ride with a stick horsey.
That's
to your
right.
Own music of choice.
Our dressage event. Yes.
So we will see who takes out the gold. Right now, as it stands, Italy's on gold. Minidad and Small Bago is on one silver. And the United States of Geriatrica bringing up the rear.
Still running.
Lucky.